This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
Today we're exploring brain injury through a cultural lens and asking the question, are cultural supports important in recovering from a traumatic brain injury? Hi, I'm Jane, manager at Brain Injury Otago. Today I'm talking with Denise Gordon-Glassford. Denise has been involved in a project looking at streamlining the transition from hospital to home for Māori patients who have suffered a traumatic brain injury. Welcome, Denise.
Hi.
Hi, and thank you so much for talking with me today.
Cool.
So first of all, can you tell me how and when you got your brain injury?
I got my brain injury 2019.
Yeah.
I was driving back to Mosgiel from Invercargill and was travelling at night, and I was veered to the left quite a bit because of people with their lights on full beam.
Yep.
And I hit the Milton Bridge and, from what I'm told, rolled about three times to the other side of the road.
Wow.
I woke up to people yelling out.
Yeah.
But I don't really remember.
Yeah.
I had my teacup chihuahua with me, but she was miraculously not harmed at all.
Oh, wow.
Frustrated the fire brigade because I was yelling out, "Where's my baby?" So that was a bit... probably a good experience for them.
Yeah.
So I was at hospital. They left me in to not be able to move for about 12 hours because they were still trying to get scans done.
Is that the whole cast where they tie you in so you can't
move? And they put sacks around you, so you wee bean sacks around you so you can't move. Because I had a sore neck. I didn't feel I had a great experience at the hospital. Also, just like to let you know, I'm transgender, and I found that, unfortunately, some medical professionals were probably a bit more interested in that as well.
Wow, rather than treating your injuries?
Some people were, from what I remember. So I sort of had the brain injury guide done on me. I didn't pass the first time. They do it every 20 minutes or something. But the second time I noticed the answers were on the back of the form that the nurse was reading, so I could see them.
Yeah.
So I read them all out. And I thought I was just wanting to get away, but I didn't realise the impact my accident actually had on me.
Yeah.
So the car ride home was traumatic enough for me. I just couldn't cope with bright light, noises, things flashing past. So it was a struggle for me. The next day I was left at home on my own, so no one understood exactly.
Yeah.
The fact that I was still walking, and I was pulling glass out of my head the next day.
Wow. And you were saying to me about not being able to speak. Is that, and that was something that you said, were saying that I was still really frustrating. And
yeah, well, I couldn't put a sentence really together the next morning.
Yeah.
I don't know what I was thinking, but I found trying to make – I didn't even think to make a cup of coffee. I didn't think to eat something. So literally just stayed where I was, sort of thing.
Yeah.
I just didn't cope. I slept a lot.
Yeah.
And the lights and that were bright. They did tell me someone was going to come and see me, but it took a week.
That would have been a tough week.
I thought I had gone mental.
Yeah.
And I wasn't coping.
Yeah.
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 Until I had someone come. I can't remember. I lost my memory in a way. Short-term memory, I don't have one anymore. It's just gone.
Yeah.
I just don't remember things. And when I'm having to think about something, I struggle to speak. I can't seem to get the brain to allow the mouth to say the words. But I still have a lot of fatigue, and I got told because I was a support person prior to my car accident that we're probably some of the hardest to actually learn to stop worrying about everyone else and take it on board yourself.
Yeah.
Also, I had COVID, not me, but COVID came into New Zealand and my treatment really got stopped a lot of the time.
Mm.
So didn't really be focused on my treatment until about 3 years.
Yeah. So how did you get involved with Brain Injury Association and Kathy?
I really needed someone to talk to and to understand and teach me.
Yep.
And I had lovely Sue, actually.
Oh, Sue.
Yes.
Who's another liaison officer at Brain Injury.
She came to me, and even though I probably didn't do many things to begin with, it was good being able to talk to someone.
Yep.
Slowly that helped teach my husband a little bit about brain injury by leaving stuff for him to read and teach me different ways to take brain breaks, because I wasn't very good at it. I forgot to.
Yeah.
And that's something I learnt later on, is you just forget. I forgot to cook meat with tea. I forgot to turn the veggies on. I burnt the veggies because I'd forget what I was doing.
Yeah.
And I'd do something else. And then I'd be tired and go and sit down and fall asleep. So it was really quite dangerous in a way, I feel. And, yeah, it was pretty awesome when...
So as part a project that we found out about, and so that is through, and it's called Te Ara Marama. And so can you tell me a little bit about this project?
Okay, I was asked if I would like to go and be a consumer, as I do a little bit of public speaking,
mm-hmm.
and I'm a bit of a equal rights person. I like to fight for equal rights.
Yep.
And I took it up, not really knowing too much about it, and it was about help bringing Maori health in line with brain injury.
Yep.
And the our brain injury, traumatic injury place in the hospital that we have,
a
unit.
Yeah. Yep.
And it was researching and looking at what would be needed to help rehabilitate patients, sort of, help when they leave hospital. And we found there were quite high stats of people returning back to hospital within 3 months.
Because they hadn't, they'd come out without any support.
Yeah, there was some support, but yep. not an overall wraparound service.
Yep.
And we found that a lot of patients' families also struggled to understand traumatic brain injury,
yep.
as we have everything from a slight concussion right through to traumatic brain injury. So we wanted to put in place navigators, and these are Maori navigators to help with the families, to help the patient get to appointments, to go out in the community, to support them in every aspect of leaving the hospital.
Yeah.
We found it to be quite rewarding, but we first had to teach people about brain injury. We also had to teach navigators and the Maori places that we're going to get the navigators from,
yep.
all about brain injury. Also had to teach some medical staff about the different types of brain injury.
Yep.
We went to Wellington. Well, we were meant to go 3 times, but we went up twice for study sort of days with the rest of New Zealand's, because this was nationwide.
Oh, okay.
So we all were implementing different things, but we all had to do case studies. We also got shown how to do our case reports,
yep.
and stuff. And I was lucky to follow it right through. So Amy
Rosenfeld?
Yes. She was a speech and language therapist.
Yep.
So she was the one who thought up of the idea,
yep.
of having navigators. And when she approached me and we talked about it and everything, we found that I had personality where I wasn't afraid to make sure that medical staff understood the needs of someone with a traumatic brain injury.
Yep. Yep.
So at first I was nervous to put across what I thought,
yep.
but I also realised after time that it was beneficial for them, and they implemented quite a few things that I had recommended. So
it's fantastic.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
And the great part was they even gave me a koha for doing it.
Oh, nice.
And I got this beautiful greenstone
that is
given
gorgeous.
To me,
yeah.
as a gift for being a part of the project.
Yeah.
I said I still am to today, if I'm even needed.
So, could you relate some of the findings that you found throughout the project to relate to the experiences that you had?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. As I said, being stuck at home and on your own.
Yeah.
How trapping, and you don't only suffer a brain injury, but you also end up suffering depression.
Yeah.
And
is it isolation?
Yeah. Because you're having to learn how to reintegrate into society, but at the same time remember that you need to be number one. You need to take care of your brain and your brain, because if you don't look after your brain, you won't get better. I mean, you can be left with different brain injury associate things, and they can be very different for everyone. Yeah. But if you're not taught about those things that are bothering you, you'll never get past it or never learn how to deal with it. For me, it was taking brain breaks. It was learning to, again, set out my day and remember when was my down times, when was it very difficult.
And is this something you still do? Do you still take regular brain breaks?
No, sometimes not, I'll be honest. But yes, I have to. I don't have a choice.
Yep.
Otherwise, you'll catch me asleep somewhere. I need to have that downtime, and I hopefully will pass it on for many people, because there's so many people that can have injuries, brain injuries, and not know it.
And feel they need to push on through, when sometimes that's the worst thing
that you can do. I've had to, in social events, and Sue has been very helpful to me. I mean, she said to me, go and sit in the toilet and just shut your eyes. And I didn't even think to do that. I did think, maybe not the toilet, maybe outside or somewhere. But it was, I found that the brain injury where you're from have really helped me in meeting other people with brain injury, and to know that we all have some sort of brain injury that affects us in different ways. So
it's important, and I think to share those experiences to help each other, and
oh, definitely,
sure. So from your experience in the project, what advice would you have for someone who has an injury and needs support?
One, to help them seek out to get support.
Yep.
Two, to really let them know that it's normal what they're going through.
Yeah.
And but the biggest thing is to not feel like that you're alone, that many people have brain injuries and a lot of people don't even know that that person has one. The biggest thing is brain breaks, I've really got to say, and to keep up with appointments. Speak out if you're not coping.
Yeah.
With any aspect of your existence, really.
Yeah. And so you come along to some of our groups as well, don't you?
Yes.
Yeah.
So fun.
Lots of support groups.
Yeah. I would like to see in the future something also done for the European side, because we've done it for Maori.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not saying that European people can't use the Maori aspect, because they can.
Yeah.
But navigators for all people that have been in hospital.
So, Denise, there's something that you've been talking about your cultural heritage.
Well, I'm actually half Indian.
Yep.
And the rest I am European, Scottish, Maori. And at the time I didn't actually know that I actually had Maori blood in me.
Yeah.
And it was only when I was going through the family tree I'd come across a photo of my great grandmother and who was full blooded Maori. So I felt very honoured then to be a part of this. As I first felt, I was a bit of a fraud, thinking that I was just half Indian, but it came out where I also was able to learn a lot more through, especially meeting Matt, who is our Maori cultural person for the hospital.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And so I got to go on a few travels with him, and so it was very awesome to hear the certain stories about Maori and what he teaches our international doctors and nurses. I was able to be a part of one of the courses that we went to do for them.
Amazing.
So.
And the other interesting thing you were telling me about your grandmother, great-grandmother, was that she's from, is it Bluff?
Well, from really the whole South Island, but my grandmother was from Riverton Down.
Yeah.
And it was so beautiful when Matt took me to the marae in Bluff.
Yeah.
And I was welcomed on because they were all wahine.
Yeah.
Spiritual princesses of our nation. And it's one of the only meeting houses that are all women.
Yeah. Amazing.
Statues. It was really amazing for me. Yeah.
Yeah, that's so cool. What we looked at is the physical well-being, spiritual well-being, social well-being, mental and emotional well-being. I thought that
very important.
That really, that whole wraparound, isn't it? That it wasn't, it's looking at all aspects of your life.
And people don't realise that. Cultural well-being is really important for some people, where social well-being might be important for some others.
Yeah.
But we don't really know this until we get to know a person.
And have that conversation.
Yeah. And that was something I got a lot of. I got a lot from helping out doing this as much as giving, because I learned so many different things by talking with other people with brain injury.
Yeah.
And the weirdest thing is that you can really be familiar and share very similar experiences but very different at the same time. And that's comforting.
Yeah.
The biggest thing is to treat it as just your normal, everyday, run-of-the-mill thing that you have to do. I think having that little bit of extra understanding of those four different points helps you to realise that it's okay. You'll be okay. You'll get there.
Yeah.
You might have to learn to accept a few different things.
Yeah.
But it's in you. You can.
Yeah.
That's eventually step forward with a more positive outlook from when you first end up with this horrible, isolating thing that we think of first with brain injury.
Yeah, yeah. Those are lovely words, I think, that, that can take people a lot from that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was wondering, I was thinking about the study and thinking, is there some of the principles that from the study that, that we could incorporate brain injury, some things that could help our association?
Wow.
It's a heavy one.
I actually think yous do really well. You already listen to your consumers.
Mm.
And your consumers are involved in it all as well. Just to be out there and, I mean, help change our hospital.
And we certainly are doing it. We were just talking about before that we are being involved in lots of in ways to try and improve some of these systems.
Yeah, because ED's the biggest one that we need to, I think, get down on throughout the country, because there's a lot of hospitals that don't measure brain injury.
Mm.
And, I mean, it was a new thing for Otago Hospital when they started doing it.
Yeah.
Because they say it's a time factor, but we need to have that time.
Yeah, and that's the time to have those conversations, to do those the checks to make sure.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Denise, for coming in today and sharing your story.
Thank you.
Really appreciate it. If you're wanting to get in touch with Brain Injury Otago, please give us a call on 4716 156, or you can visit our website braininjuryotago.org.nz.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.